Good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Go and Teach Bible Study Program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. My name is Brian Sheely, and I'm one of the members here at Monte Vista. And I want to welcome you to the first radio program of 2014. It's an honor and privilege to be able to fill in this morning and bring a message from God's Word. And I hope the things that we talk about this morning are helpful for you and helpful for bringing you closer to a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have any questions about what you hear on this morning's radio program, or if you have any questions about the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you'd like to sit down and schedule a personal Bible study, we'd love to get in touch with you. If you just visit us on our website at montevistacoc.com, you can call us or send us a message there through the website, and we'd love to get in touch with you and help you in any way that we possibly can. I don't know about you, but I've been spending the last few days thinking about my life a little bit more than I normally do. And I think that's just kind of natural around this time of year. A lot of people are making goals and resolutions and trying to improve on their life. And while I'm not really a big advocate for making a bunch of New Year's resolutions and setting this date in the sand as being some magical date in which all kinds of great things are going to happen in our life, I do think that it is valuable for us to stop and to consider our life, to consider what we can improve on, how we can become more Christ-like. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about over the past few days is, how do I handle difficult situations? How do I handle stressful and challenging events in my life that really put my faith to the test? Situations that are stressful, situations that are difficult. How do I handle those situations? And I'm not going to be dogmatic about this one way or another. This is just kind of my own personal opinion, and I'm going to throw it out there, and maybe it'll help you in some way. But I find myself handling stressful situations in one of two ways. I can either react to the situation, or I can respond to the situation. And while I think reaction and responding are two very similar ideas, in my mind at least, they're very different in that reacting to a situation is sort of a knee-jerk, built-in, thoughtless activity, whereas responding to a situation feels more thoughtful, feels more considerate, feels more wise. And so I can just have a knee-jerk reaction to a stressful situation. I can try to slap a Band-Aid on a situation and try to make it all better. Or I can stop, sit down and think, and figure out how to properly respond to a stressful situation in my life. This is something that when I was growing up, I had a really hard time with, and I still really do. But my dad used to tell me when I was growing up that I needed to engage my brain. And I still need to engage my brain, and I think we all do. When you're in the middle of an opportunity where you could just quickly react to a situation, we need to engage our brain. We need to think. We need to consider how we're going to handle this situation, and in the way that we handle it, is Christ going to be glorified in our life? Is God going to be lifted up in the way that we handle a stressful and difficult situation? This morning, I want to talk about how to live with composure, how to live as a Christian with a calm and level-headed handling of even the most stressful and difficult situation in our life. Throughout the Bible, we see plenty of examples of men and women who were put under extreme duress, extremely stressful situations, probably more than many of us will ever experience in our life. And sometimes I look at the way that they responded to those situations, and I'm just amazed at how composed and how calm and how patient they were. Whereas I would probably just react with worry and fear and anxiety and maybe even anger. You see, those are the tools of Satan. Those are the tools of the natural man. The natural man, when put under a stressful and challenging situation, is going to respond with worry and is going to respond with fear and is going to become anxious and maybe even angry about a situation. Whereas someone who has been crucified with Christ, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, someone who's been crucified with Christ and no longer lives for themselves, but lives all for Christ, is going to respond in the way that he responded to stressful and difficult situations, with calmness, with composure. You see, that's one of the best ways for us to allow our light to shine in this dark world, is how we respond to the same stressful situations that the world faces. But when our response is very different to theirs, we can show the world why being in a relationship with Jesus Christ is truly a peaceful and calming thing. Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, is telling his disciples there that, you know what, we're not promised ease and comfort in this life. Just because we're a Christian, just because we've devoted our life to Christ, doesn't mean that we are immune from stress, that we're immune from challenging and difficult situations. Actually, Jesus promises us tribulation. He says, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, if we think about Jesus, and we think about the fact that he has overcome all of the world, and if he's living within us, and we've dedicated ourselves to him, we can be of good cheer. He doesn't want his disciples to walk around being stressed out and reactionary and angry all the time. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to not just put on a face and put on a facade and put on some kind of show of cheerfulness. He wants us to be genuinely and sincerely cheerful, thankful that we have a hope of heaven waiting for us, a home where we will be able to spend eternity glorifying God. This morning, if you have a Bible and you're able to turn with me, let's look over at the book of Philippians. I think probably more than any other passage, Philippians chapter 4 holds a lot of information here for helping us understand how to have the kind of calmness and composure that we're talking about this morning. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, let's begin reading there. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul's giving us there some really good instruction about how to conduct ourselves in all kinds of situations in our life. The first thing he says there in verse 4 is that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And the fact that he repeats himself again just emphasizes how much he wants us to rejoice, to be happy, to be excited about the opportunities that we have when we go through the various trials of this life to glorify God. But wait a second. This is Paul, right? This is the apostle who, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, listed out all of the things that he suffered for the Lord. Paul didn't have a very easy life in service to God. It wasn't that Paul was just kicking up his feet, telling us to rejoice because he was getting a foot massage and a back rub. Paul was going through some difficult times. He was under extreme stress. We see that he was beaten. We see that he was whipped. We see that he was overtaken by robbers and shipwrecked and bitten by a snake and kicked out of cities, and his countrymen hated him, and all the things that he suffered in this life for the Lord, he was still able to say, rejoice. And you know what? When we go through situations in our life, no matter what they are, no matter how bad they are, we can still rejoice. And that doesn't make sense to my natural man. My natural man does not want to rejoice when I'm going through stressful situations. I don't want to rejoice. I don't want to be happy when I'm being put upon, when I'm being taken advantage of, when I'm being ignored. We should be content, though, in every situation that we're in. And that's what Paul himself says in Philippians chapter 4 there, if you jump down even to verse 11, where he says, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the perspective that I think we all need to have this coming year. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And not only can I do all things, but I can do all things joyfully. And so when he says there in verse 4 that we're supposed to rejoice, one other point that I want to make note of here is that we're not rejoicing in our personal accomplishments. We're not rejoicing in the personal relationships that we've developed. We're not rejoicing in our possessions in this life. We're rejoicing in the Lord. And when we rejoice in the Lord first, yes, then we can rejoice in our accomplishments, and we can rejoice in the relationships that we've developed on this earth, and we can rejoice in the possessions that the Lord has blessed us with. But our true joy comes directly from the Lord and comes directly from a relationship that we have with Him. And so when we have a relationship with the Lord, when we're suffering these trials and difficulties and going through all kinds of stressful situations in this life, will we respond with joy or will we react with worry, fear, and anger? Then he goes on in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 4 to say, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." When you're going through a stressful situation, a difficult time in your life, is it easy to be gentle? This is one of the greatest challenges for me as a new parent. It's really challenging to instruct your children to know the Lord and to do the right thing, and when they mess up or when they fall, to still be gentle to them. Because the easy reaction is for us to be a bully. The easy reaction for us is to jump down their throat and scream and yell and get angry at them. The more challenging response, though, is to maintain gentleness and to show that we truly do love them. We, in James chapter 1 and verse 19, as Christians are called to be slow to anger, slow to speak. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking here in Philippians 4 about being gentle. We need to not be so quick to be angry. We need to not be so quick to speak up and to spout out our opinions. We need to be patient and gentle with those who need our patience and gentleness, even when we respond to those people who are in opposition to the faith. You could say, well, I'll be gentle, but there are certain circumstances where I just can't be gentle. I've got to put my foot down. Well, even in those situations, though, we're called to be gentle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul is talking about those people who are in opposition to the faith, who are directly opposed to Jesus Christ. And how do we respond to them? Do we react by becoming angry? Do we react by slamming them down and yelling at them and making them feel terrible about themselves? Or do we carefully and thoughtfully respond with gentleness? He says there in verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So what Paul's saying there is, you know, if you're going to jump down somebody's throat, even if they're in opposition to the faith, you're just being counterproductive. Because what you're really trying to do, or what you should really be trying to do, is help them come back to the faith. Help them return to the Lord because you love them. And you're never going to do that by burning a bridge. You're never going to do that by jumping down somebody's throat. You're going to have a much better opportunity to help correct somebody and to help bring somebody back from near destruction if you're not quarrelsome and if you're gentle and patient and humble. And that's a difficult lesson to learn, because gentleness is not our natural reaction. Gentleness is not the way that our natural man, the way that Satan, wants us to respond. And so we need to learn gentleness. We need to be taught gentleness. And what better example do we have of gentleness than Jesus Christ himself? Our Savior, who was least worthy of all men to suffer the treatment that he suffered, but still responded with gentleness as he was beaten, as he was struck, as he was mocked, as his hands and feet were nailed to the cross, as he hung there to die with a crown of thorns on his head, looking down at all of those who had rejected him, who were spitting on him, and who hated him. He looked up into the heavens and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He was still gentle with them. He could have reacted in so many different ways. He could have called down 10,000 angels to take him down from that cross and punish everyone who had put him there. But he exemplified humility and gentleness there on the cross. And I venture to guess that this coming year, in 2014, you're never going to face anything as severe as Jesus Christ faced when he was on this earth. And so if Christ is truly dwelling within us, our response to the difficult situations of this life should also be with love and gentleness. Then there in Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn back and look with me at verse 6. I think for me, verse 6 might be one of the most challenging verses here that we're going to consider this morning, because even the most joyful and gentle people that I've ever known in my life have always been worried about something. And so Paul instructs us here to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. You know, we're called here not to worry. And that's, again, the natural man wants to worry. He wants to react to situations in this world, stressful events and challenging events in this world, by becoming worried about things. But we're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to instead pray. And that's exactly what Jesus himself says over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 there in that mountain sermon where Jesus is teaching about this very topic, worry and concern. He says there in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor they reap, or they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And he goes on there to talk about a few more examples of natural things in this world that God has created that don't worry. And then he drops down and says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And so, Jesus teaches us there not to worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be caught up in all of the things that tomorrow brings, because tomorrow's not here yet. And all we have to work with is today. All we can control is what we do right now, how we respond to this moment. And if you look there in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, he says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And that's one of the greatest weapons against fear and anxiety in this life, is to pray. Pray to God. Tell him about all of the things that are going on in your life, because he already knows, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 6. God already knows, but he wants you to pray. And he wants you to pray there with supplication. Supplication is not a word that we use very much, but supplication just means to beg and to ask and to plead. Plead with God. and beg him and ask for him to give you the things that you need, but also, he says, with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful in our prayers to God, thankful that he has given us even the opportunity to pray, thankful that he's promised us that he will care for our needs if we cast them upon him, thankful that he's given us a peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ. And that's really what this lesson is all about today. It's all about what happens when we respond to the stressful situations of this life in a peaceful and calm and composed way. Not putting up some kind of show, not faking it, not pretending that we're peaceful or that we're calm or that we're composed, but to actually be calm, to actually be composed, to actually respond to the stressful situations of this life in the way that Jesus Christ himself would have responded. You know, we can become so easily distracted and so easily worried and troubled in this life with all the cares, with all the distractions, with all of the concerns that come our way. And we can really miss out on the true importance of this life. We can really miss out on what is most critical for us to focus on. And this morning I want to leave you with just a small example from God's Word in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, of a story of Mary and Martha. These are two dedicated women to the Lord, yet they both had two very different responses to the everyday events of this life. And so the story begins that Jesus was there with them in that certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha, though, as you remember in the story, was so distracted by all of the serving that she had to do, all of the cooking and the cleaning and the busyness that she had going on. And Mary there was sitting at Jesus' feet just listening to him teach. And Martha becoming so frustrated, becoming so angry and resentful about the situation, came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." You see, Martha was reacting to the stress in her life, while Mary had chosen to respond thoughtfully to what was more important. Jesus then answers her and says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." What will you choose today? Will you choose to respond to the difficult and stressful situations in this life thoughtfully, with composure, with a level-headed and caring response? Or are you going to react? Are you going to snap back? Are you going to worry, become fearful and angry? My hope is today that you will take more time to consider your response to the stressful situations of this life, to respond in the way that Christ would have responded, and that you would have more opportunities to rejoice always, to be gentle to all, and to be anxious for nothing. Have a great day.